Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning. First case, 10-114, Nationwide Mutual Insurance versus Corey Briggs. Appellant, Mr. Roman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Mr. Ginella. I would like to request 5 minutes, 5 minutes of rebuttal time after Mr. Ginella's argument. The issue in this case is whether exclusionary language in Nationwide's policy will apply to exclude coverage due to the doctrine of inferred intent. Briefly, in the way of review of the facts, this case involves a person, a layperson, who was discharging fireworks on the 4th of July in 2007 when, upon discharge of the fireworks, essentially it resulted in the discharge of the fireworks to cause property damage and also some bodily injury. Our position, Nationwide's position, can be reduced to two basic points. Number one, in general, the doctrine of inferred intent should apply to the act involved in this case because the act and harm are so intrinsically tied together so that it is as if the act in effect equals the harm. Number one. Number two.
You're saying the act of lighting this incendiary device, this firecracker, is so linked to the harm that inferred intent is what?
Applicable to exclude coverage.
Can you expound on that for
me? Sure. The reason I say that, Your Honor, is because this in this case, the person that is involved is essentially a layperson. There are statutory laws that are in effect on the municipal level and also the state level.
So it was criminal activity that this teenager was engaged in when he discharged the firecrackers in his family's backyard?
Yes, yes, Your Honor. And the reason I say that, and it's important in this case, with respect to the person who's discharging the fireworks, and that is it is a layperson. I mean, those statutes regarding the regulations and limitations about discharging fireworks allow certain qualified, experienced individuals and entities to discharge those fireworks. That's why those statutes are there.
Counsel, do you ever set off fireworks?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Do you ever set off fireworks?
You may have a right to remain silent here.
Your Honor, I'm really not a fireworks guy. I have done sparklers, however, with
okay.
My kids. Other than that.
This wasn't in his backyard, was it? Didn't he go across the road to a open field that used to be a schoolhouse that they torn down? It was a field.
Excuse me. This was a school that had an adjacent field to it.
So he went to the field?
He went to the field of the school, yes. I would just say in response to that, Your Honor, I mean, this was not a wilderness or a desert-type area. There were a lot of homes in this area. And also, the fact that it was the 4th of July, there were a lot of people that were congregating. And I think the depositions in the record show that there were children in the area that were in rather close proximity.
I'm unfamiliar with this particular firework. I may be familiar with others, but this one is unknown to me. Could you describe it?
Certainly not an expert. I may know just about as much as you, but I understand it's a bottle rocket. It has a long stem on the device with a wick, essentially. You light the wick, and it goes up the device, and then discharges the firework into the air.
Okay,
I mean, I think
gotcha.
Essentially is what.
Does the opinion of Allstate versus Campbell have any application to this case? Is the ruling on inferred intent there applicable at all in this matter?
I think so, Your Honor. And along those lines, it seems to me that this court's case law on this subject can be limited to two different areas. On the one hand, you have the Gill and the Guerin case, where I don't think anyone, including Mr. Janella, would claim that the doctrine of inferred intent doesn't apply in that fact pattern, which involves a murder or sexual molestation. Then on the other edge of the table is the Swanson case, which involved the youngster who discharged the BB gun and ended up hitting another person in the eye, and also the bad faith case, which I think was the Buckeye case. In those particular cases, this court indicated that there was going to be coverage that was available. So, and I think where Campbell comes into this, Your Honor, is that the Briggs case, the one we're here on today, I submit fits in that box where Gill and Guerin rest at this point, particularly on the holding in Campbell, where it indicates that essentially the act equals the harm that they're.
But in Campbell, weren't the boys charged criminally as well for the placement of the deer? And so there was a criminal act involved in that case also, was there not?
I think in response to that, Your Honor, just to be a little vulgar on that really, but you have stupidity versus illegality. And I would submit that what those young men did in Campbell may not have been as inherently illegal as what occurred in Briggs, that is, violation of the statute by this person, Mr. Briggs, in this fact pattern. I think because of the presence of those statutes regarding the discharge of fireworks, how they are specifically regulated causes this case, particularly in light of this court's holding in Campbell, to fit in that context where Gill and Guerin presently exist to find inferred intent applicable.
So do you equate the committing a criminal act to always imply inferred intent? Is there a presumption of inferred intent if you create a criminal act, or is it still a factual analysis?
I certainly think in the cases that found lack of coverage, I think can be cited for the proposition that inferred intent can be found as a matter of law, as it was in Guerin and Gill. And I think in this particular case, because of the specific statutes that are in play regarding fireworks, that the act is so intrinsically connected to the resultant harm that inferred intent would apply as a matter of law to cause the exclusionary language in the policy to apply and result in the lack of coverage.
Mr. Roman, the Court of Appeals didn't really rule on the inferred intent issue. It seems as though the policy says that the coverage is excluded for an act caused by or resulting from the commission of an act which is criminal in nature, committed by the insured. So if the policy language simply says that there's no coverage for a criminal act, as I read the Court of Appeals opinion, they determined that the criminal act exclusion in this case was overly broad. So this whole issue of inferred intent was never presented to the Court of Appeals. And it seems as though the case has sort of changed complexion as it reaches this court.
I think, admittedly, you're absolutely right, Your Honor. The Fifth District decided the case based on the issue of
an overly broad
criminal acts exclusion as opposed to the intentional act. And I would just say a couple things in response to that. Number one, it seems, first of all, the policy language certainly was cited throughout the proceedings in the trial court and the Court of Appeals. I mean, the entire exclusion was cited, the intentional acts portion of it and also the criminal acts portion of it. I think what may have caused the kind of shift in emphasis was this court accepting and deciding Campbell. I think, Your Honor, the vehicle was always there in the record up to this point.
The difficulty I'm having is, as I read the Court of Appeals opinion, it says specifically Nationwide argues because the possession and discharge of the fireworks was criminal in nature, coverage is excluded. That was a position that you had advanced or your company had advanced through the appellate court proceeding, and they simply said that exclusion is too broad.
I understand that.
And were that exclusion to apply, I mean, the argument would be made that when a motorist drives through a stop sign and strikes a pedestrian, presumably the motorist violated the law by not stopping at the stop sign. So since it's a criminal act, there would be no coverage. It would be excluded.
I would offer in response to that, Your Honor, I think you have to look at the activity involved in the particular case. And here's where I see the difference, excuse me, and I anticipated this coming up. In the example that you mentioned, the motorist driving down the street, when the motorist gets behind the wheel and starts driving down the street, he or she is doing nothing illegal. He or she is doing a legal act. The difference in our case, in the fireworks, is when Mr. Briggs chose to discharge those fireworks, he was committing an inherently illegal act.
And in my example, if you drive through a stop sign and strike a pedestrian, are you committing a criminal act?
Again, I think that the difference is, Your Honor, is to look at the inherent activity involved. Again, when you start to drive.
In other words, you can be negligent in performing the act of driving. And as you suggested in response to Justice Stratton's question, you can be negligent in committing a criminal act. But the act of discharging a firearm is prohibited.
Yes, I see a difference in the two examples that we just discussed. And I think also.
But should the Court of Appeals pass on the inferred intent before we reach it?
Since it wasn't
presented to them?
Excuse me, Your Honor. I think the issues are so intertwined in terms of inferred intent applying to both a criminal acts exclusion and an intentional acts exclusion that again, the vehicle is there in the record, which permits this court to decide the case based on the doctrine of inferred intent.
And you would have us follow our decision in Allstate and utilize the intrinsically tied test, and you suggest that the act of discharging the firearm is intrinsically tied to the harm caused in burning down the building.
Exactly. Act equals harm.
Thank you.
And they're so intrinsically entwined.
Counsel, do you recall what the penalty was for violating the fireworks ordinance?
In this case, Your Honor, it was a misdemeanor, and it was a minor sentence or result. I mean, it wasn't any
so
type
like
of
jail. So like a first-degree misdemeanor or a minor misdemeanor?
It probably, I believe, was a minor misdemeanor. It was undoubtedly a misdemeanor because it was adjudicated through Massillon Municipal Court.
Counsel, go ahead.
I was going to say, so you're saying that any time there's harm, if the act itself was criminal or a minor misdemeanor, which is subject to a fine only, that the policy would exclude coverage for that. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that you have to look at the particular activity involved and the law which applies to that activity.
But that's what I'm trying to get at. It seems as though when you say the two are conflated, a criminal act, when you label it as criminal, it almost seems to suggest that you're saying intentional, extrinsically tied to harm is automatic because it's a crime. So that if we do have harm and you can relate it back to a criminal activity, or here you're saying a minor misdemeanor falls within the category of criminal activity, you're going to exclude coverage under these exclusions.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Because of the activity that's involved. Again, making the distinction, as Justice O'Donnell indicated, driving down the street is not an illegal activity. But in the examples that I cited in my brief in appellate courts throughout the state, things such as punching someone in the face, assaulting someone.
Counsel, what about driving down the street intoxicated? You're intoxicated when you get leave your house, you get in a car, you're intoxicated while you're driving, and you cause an accident that results in both physical and bodily injury. What would you do under those circumstances? Because there's no scenario or no part of that scenario that is not illegal.
I believe that raises a very important policy consideration, Justice O'Connor, and that
you
is—
You say policy, you mean insurance policy or public policy?
No, I'm sorry, public policy.
Okay.
Excuse me. And that is, I mean, it's almost as if by allowing coverage in that inherently aggravating activity, it almost, it's not encouraging, but desensitizes the severity of the offense. In other words, do we as a society want to permit coverage in that type of situation where there's a drunk driver?
Yeah, well, the victim there would be the person who got injured from your scenario of how you would deny coverage. Yes, you punish the drunk driver, but you really punish the person who's the victim of the drunk driver.
Counsel, I'm sure this question that's been asked has probably come up before. What is Nationwide's position as to what its policy means in that regard?
I think what I would say in response to that, Your Honor, if we're talking about practically where that case might end up, I would assume that the injured person would be a financially responsible individual and have an insurance policy that may include uninsured motorist coverage. I mean, I think is probably where that would stand, but I think that the more important question is, do we want to allow that person who has participated in that activity to almost do it and not have any type of civil liability or ramifications with knowing that there's a large liability insurance policy there to protect him or her.
Counsel, let me suggest another scenario. Instead of the drunk driving or under the influence, the person is speeding and unintentionally runs through a red light or a stop sign. That's illegal conduct from the beginning.
Your Honor, I would just say, as I had mentioned before, the fact that the person is driving to begin with, I think,
is
takes
not,
it
is
out
not
of
illegal,
context.
But the fact that they're going over the speed limit, even if it's 5 miles an hour, is a illegal activity.
Yes, it seems to me that the action in that case is potentially being performed negligently, as opposed to when a person sets out, in this case, to discharge
fireworks. I'm in a hurry. I'm deliberately going over the speed limit because I need to get somewhere faster. And I think that's why this case is a little troubling, I guess, is where are the limits? Where are the parameters?
Well, I understand your comments in that regard, Your Honor. And again, given the facts of this case, I think this is a case that fits into the Gill, Gehring, and Campbell holding, indicating that the doctrine of inferred intent should apply as a matter of law to cause the policy exclusion to apply from either a criminal acts exclusion or an intentional acts exclusion standpoint.
Thank you, Mr. Roman. You've gone well over your 15 minutes, but... Mr. Janella?
Thank you.
It pleases the Court, Your Honor. My name is Attorney Steve Janella. I represent the appellee, Corey Briggs, in this matter. And first, I would like to address the issue as to what is before the Court, that being brought by Nationwide as inferred intent. At the lower level, the Fifth District, The only argument that was ever made was criminal in nature. Never once was inferred intent or intentional act brought up by the appellant in the lower courts. Therefore, this issue before the court should not be addressed. I addressed that in my motion to dismiss, which was denied. However, since we are here and they are arguing inferred intent, I'd like to get into the issue of inferred intent. The inferred intent in Campbell states intrinsically connected or intrinsically tied. We have an individual here, Corey Briggs, on the 4th of July weekend when it's socially acceptable and everyone basically, or most people, fire off fireworks. He went to a middle of a field. The field was where a building, a school, once was located along with an adjacent park. He was approximately 30 yards away from any structure. Corey Briggs came out. There were other children out there, other people firing off fireworks. He goes to the middle of the field, sticks the bottle rocket straight into the ground, where in his deposition he also states he intended that bottle rocket to go straight up in the air and pop, end of story. However, what happened is Mr. Briggs put it into the ground, never pointed it at anyone or at the building or any structures with the intent for it to go straight up in the air. The bottle rocket takes a 90-degree turn and heads towards the structures.
So was this a defective firework?
It was.
And is there an action against the maker?
The firework company, no.
Retailer?
No. Basically, the law states that you can sell fireworks, but you can't use them, okay, which is kind of contradictory when we know on the 4th of July weekend there are fireworks being shot off. But in any event, go.
So, Mr. Ginella, do you concede that it was illegal activity or illicit activity that was being conducted here?
Your Honor, in the Massillon Municipal Court, the defendant was charged with a misdemeanor one of either possessing or discharging a firework. Mm-hmm. Never once did Judge Mack, who made the decision on the no contest plea, which cannot be used against them here, did he find what provision in that ordinance Mr. Briggs was guilty of. Also, there is no mens rea. No intent, no strict, it's basically you shoot it off, that's it.
So are you making a distinction that if it were a minor misdemeanor, it would be one thing? If it was a misdemeanor of the first degree, it's another?
No, Your Honor. The point I'm trying to make is taking a car that's going down the road and speeds or goes through a stop sign and ends up crashing and hurting an individual, that is similar to what we have here, where there was possibly a criminal act that occurred. However, there was no intent to cause that harm or intrinsically tied to inferring that that harm would result based on the actions of Mr. Briggs when he fired off that bottle rocket, proceeded inside after he fired that off.
So looking at it a different way, even though this may be illegal activity, if just use that term, when you think about it, the activity itself, in and of itself, could be done without harming someone.
Exactly, Your Honor.
And that's where the intrinsically tied to harm, the act intrinsically tied to harm, comes from the inferred intent doctrine.
Exactly, Your Honor. And
so counsel, getting back to what the appellate court ruled in this matter, the basis was the clause in the insurance contract was undefined as what criminal activity was?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
It would be ambiguous then and overbroad,
yes,
because of some of the examples presumably that were contained in the questions that was asked by this court this morning, such as the speeding, et cetera, which would allow Nationwide to deny coverage based on something similar, correct?
Correct, which would be very simple for Nationwide, just to put an exclusion in that we do not cover discharging a firearm, fireworks, at all. Or
it's a little unrealistic to expect that the insurance policy is going to list every sort of criminal activity that it's not going to, cover.
I understand that, Your Honor, but in the provision that they are relying on as far as intentional act, it is stating more of a subjective view on the whole situation, where it states that the insured knew or ought to know that the harm would result. This is clearly a negligence case. Mr. Briggs, after this occurred, saw the fire, went over, yelled for people to call 911, put his life in peril, got the people out of the structures, and tried to put the fire out with a hose. I mean, if we're going to consider intrinsically tied, we have to look at the actions of Mr. Briggs. He did everything that was possible to avoid any harm from taking place.
But do you admit that the harm is tied to setting off the bottle rocket?
Your Honor, it may be tied in this court's opinion, but it's not the substantial result.
Well, we don't have a substantial
exactly.
Certainty. We've come up with intrinsically tied. So is the question of what does intrinsically mean here? What does is mean, meaning of is?
Okay, intrinsically tied, then anyone that fires off a bottle rocket would believe that that it would be setting off a fire every time they fire it off.
Don't we look at the act before us? Don't we have a resulting fire and determine whether or not it is or isn't intrinsically tied to the act of an actor, whether it did or didn't contribute?
Yes, Your Honor, but we also, the examples that were used were we also have a drunk driver where a drunk driver ends up hurting or killing a person, and there's coverage for that, same as here, in less of a situation in this case, based on the fact that Mr. Briggs did everything possible to avoid any harm from taking place.
Other than, of course, engaging in the conduct to begin with that was prohibited by the municipality because these things occur. I have a question about this phrase, overly broad, as Chief Justice O'Connor said. The Court of Appeals said that was not enforceable because it was overbroad. What is your understanding of what they meant? It's overbroad in its application to the facts of this case, or it's overbroad in terms of a violation of public policy and cannot be enforced under any circumstances?
The latter, Your Honor. That it was overbroad.
Where does this public policy come from? It wasn't
the
much.
Public policy would be, Your Honor, that individuals that do shoot off fireworks, which is common around the 4th of July, have a reason to believe that they would be covered by their insurance policy. I've asked numerous people that, and they all believe that.
Right, so this is something that comes from the popular mind that we think it ought to be covered, therefore it is public policy, or I'm not quite following why that clause is unenforceable in every case because of public policy, is what I understand you're saying.
I believe based on the fact that public policy, looking at this, is that what Nationwide is trying to do is switch the burden from themselves, who insured the insured, Corey Briggs, switch that responsibility from himself and Nationwide to the homeowners who either have insurance or don't have insurance. And I think that's the public policy that we're looking at to try and to avoid, is that, yes, there was a possibility that this could occur, but there's a lot of possibilities that could occur. This occurred, and it was a negligent act. He had no intention of that catching fire or to even take a 90-degree angle.
Mr. Gingella, why don't we look at the public policy of the state that says we don't want people discharging bottle rockets on the 4th of July or any time?
Your Honor, I think—
Isn't that the public policy we should be looking at and giving regard to as we are the ones here to interpret the law.
Your Honor, I think if that's the position, then they should outlaw the selling of fireworks in the state of Ohio.
Well, they've outlawed the discharge of them. That's the legislative prerogative, and that's what it is. Shouldn't we give regard to what the legislature told us the law is?
You should, to a point, but what we're looking at is, okay, if a criminal act does occur, like in your example of the speeding vehicle, that's a criminal act. But was the harm that occurred, that's covered by insurance? Why should this same situation not be covered by insurance when it's somewhat similar? Even if you would take the Campbell case, there was more of intent to possibly cause the harm based on the fact that you put a deer at the top of a crest, vehicles coming over that, and them making, and that four cars went by and there was no problems. Another car went by and caused the harm by him going off the roadway. Similar to this situation, we have fireworks that are going off constantly in the state of Ohio around 4th of July, with the fact that, you know, nothing occurs on those. So where is the knowing or ought to know that there would be this type of harm that occurred?
Counsel, getting back to the declaration that the insurance clause was overbroad, this exclusion for criminal conduct, isn't it more the insurance company trying to limit their exposure also includes acts that may be criminal in nature but constituted by negligent behavior and not intentional behavior? And if this exclusion is going to allow for non-coverage based both on merely negligent behavior that turns into a criminal act, even a minor misdemeanor, and intentional acts, which, you know, there are intentional acts that certainly are criminal in nature, that's the overbroad application here.
You're exactly correct, Your Honor.
Is this a case where we should remand to apply the Allstate standard because the standard was not available to this court and the standard sort of has changed the landscape in terms of looking at inferred intent or looking at even the overbroad nature? I mean, if you read this on its face, this is a contract. This is a contract between two parties. It excludes criminal acts, plain and simple, with no other explanation. So now we have a standard. Should we apply Allstate to this case?
Your Honor, I find difficult to remand this based on the fact that in the lower court, the only issue that they had before them is criminal in nature. What they're arguing now is the language that states that the insured knew or ought to know that the harm would occur.
But that's because that's what the Court of Appeals ended up ruling. I mean, the Court of Appeals said we're fighting it overbroad because of reasonably expected the result and to those damages which are accidental. And that's a little different than the intrinsic standard that we now have in Allstate. That language, they created that inferred intent issue by how they ruled on the proposition of law of criminal act exclusion. So, you know, they're left between a rock and a hard place if that's the basis of the Court of Appeals ruling.
Your Honor, I would agree with you to a point, but before the court now is a totally different issue of inferred intent, in which there is nothing to show that the acts of Mr. Briggs was intrinsically tied to the harm that occurred, based upon the fact that this is common practice that fireworks are shot off constantly with no intent or ought to know that fireworks were going to cause this type of
harm. So do you read the Court of Appeals opinion to say that the criminal act exclusion, because it's overbroad, will never apply in a nationwide policy now because we have a court that declares it overbroad?
No, I think it's on a case-by-case basis, Your Honor.
And the case-by-case basis requires what standard?
It would require the standard that this court is inferring, the standard that did come out of Campbell.
So therefore, don't we remand to say to the Court of Appeals, now you apply that standard because you've declared it overbroad, you've declared inferred intent, you know, reasonably expected, but that's not the standard. So why would this Court of Appeals opinion stand when we have a different standard out there now?
The only reason why, Your Honor, is that the inferred intent standard and the intentional intent was never brought up before the Fifth District, in which they could decide on that. They decided on what the argument of Nationwide was criminal in nature.
But they took it out because of the language expected, reasonably expected. They created the inferred intent category in their opinion. That's the reason they threw it out.
I believe they threw it out based on the fact that it wasn't defined and it was ambiguous, and tried to cover negligent acts by excluding that from the criminal in nature, Your Honor. That's my understanding of it. But I could see the point that the Court has as far as remanding it for that issue.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Roman, you can take 30 seconds.
Do you think it should be remanded, Mr. Roman, on that issue?
I think it's decided as a
matter. Can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I think it's decided as a matter of law, as I've said before, based upon the inherent activity involved in this case and the statutes which preclude the discharge of fireworks.
So you don't think the Court of Appeals should look at this for an application of the all-state standard that we promulgated?
I think it can be decided as a matter of law.
Right here.
And the application of inferred intent. Yeah, I do. And I just asked for relief in the form of a reversal of the appellate court opinion and entry of judgment in favor of the Nationwide that coverage is excluded based upon the application of inferred intent as a matter of law. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our opinion.